turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Chapter 2, the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. Here in this 12th verse, that 12th verse, and the first line of the verse says that at that time, referring back to what he hath previously said in verse 11, wherefore remember, recollect, that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. The Ephesian church was made up primarily of Gentiles. You are either a Jew or you're a Gentile. If you're not of Jacob's stock, then you're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. Well, the Jews were commanded by God to be circumcised. Every Jewish boy at a certain time, a certain period in his young life, was to be taken to the temple and the priest would circumcise him. That's not binding upon Gentile children. That's the difference between Jews and Gentiles in some respects. That at that time you were without Christ, that is, you Gentiles. You were aliens. You know what an alien is? Well, they refer in the language of our day, that aliens come from another planet. These things you see in the sky, or some of them do. I haven't seen any of them, but you say, well, them's aliens. Well, if you're not a bona fide a citizen of the United States of America, you're an alien. You come from some other country, and you have not been granted as of yet citizenship to the United States of America. You're an alien. Well, these Gentiles were aliens from Israel, from the commonwealth of Israel, and they were strangers to the covenant of promise. God had come to deal with Israel, not with the Gentiles. Of course, in His overall plan and purpose and His mind and His will, He did, but primarily. You're strangers from the covenant of promise. And here's the statement that I want to emphasize a little bit, a few minutes here this morning. You bear with me. Having no hope, these Gentile, uncircumcised, they had no hope. And they were without God in the world. Now, the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that God's people are accepted in Christ. It says over here in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse 6, if you'll read that along with me. in connection with the statement that I've just made, the Bible tells us that God's people are accepted in Christ. Now, Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." It says, "God, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." We were adopted into the family of God. The Israelites are the nation that was the apple of God's eye, and the Gentiles were looked upon as Gentile dogs. But we were adopted. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And it gives his reason. It was according to the good pleasure of his will. And this is the verse that I want to get to. "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." I said at the outset that God, throughout the Bible, says that his people are accepted in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we are without Christ, now if we're accepted in Christ, if we are without Christ, then we have nothing that God will accept. Now they are, just face this naked truth, this stark truth that they are people, human beings that think like us, talk like us, and look like us, and dress like us, that are not accepted in the Lord Jesus. And why are they not accepted? Because they do not believe in the testimony of God concerning his Son. Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? Why did Jesus do it? And where is Jesus at? They have no inkling to the answers to the question. So they are not accepted. You can only be accepted before God in Christ. I read to you where he said, "Wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved," accepted in the Lord Jesus. So, the Scriptures say that God's people are accepted in Christ. And so, if you are without Christ, then you have nothing that God will accept. Is that plain? That's as plain as I can make it. If you don't have Christ as your Lord, your Master, your God, your Savior, your hope, your righteousness, your sanctification, your justification, your Savior, your sin. If you don't have Him, you have nothing that God will accept. You cannot even pray unto God if you don't have Christ. We're taught by God Himself that if we come to Him in prayer, we've got to come in His name. So then, if His people are accepted in Christ, then if we are without Christ, we have nothing that God will accept. Because His people are accepted in Christ. Now, God hath said that no man can come to the Father except by Christ. That's what God says. No man. No man, black man, white man, yellow man, red man, no woman, no boy, no girl, can come to God except by Christ. No man comes unto the Father except by Christ. Therefore, if we are without Christ, we have no basis. We have no ground upon which we can approach God if we are without Christ. You see how important this makes Christ? He's the most, I want to say thing, but Christ is not a thing. Christ is a person. He's the most important person. Personage. In this world, or in the unseen world, or in the world to come. He's the most important of all, is the Lord Jesus Christ, because no one can be accepted by God apart from this man that they call Jesus. Now, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I say, in light of that, if He is the way, then there is no other way. I'm not interested in what this fellow says out here, that I think I got something of my own here. I think I can make God hear me. I'm not interested in that. I wouldn't give 2 seconds to hear a man tell me how good he is and what his hope is of getting into heaven by doing something good. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And if He's the way, there's no other way. I mean, you're shut up. You're shut up. You're forced in a corner. Nowhere to turn. He said, I am the way. Now, He said, I am the truth. When He said, I am the way, then His next phrase was, I am the truth. Now, if He is the truth, everything else is a lie. Any other way conceived in the minds of men or in the devil himself that you can be accepted in God apart from Him being the way and the truth, everything else is a lie. And if He is the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if He's the life, then everything else is death. Everything else. Oh, you say, well, I think God will have mercy on me. No, He won't. No, He won't. You're thinking wrong. God shows no mercy apart from Christ. Ever. God has put all of His eggs in one basket. And that basket is the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll either face up to Him either as your Savior or as your judge. Alright? Now let me, after I've said that, let me ask this question. Is this your case this morning? Are you without Christ? If you are without Christ this morning, whatever you possess besides, it will not do for you to bring it to God, because He won't. Whatever else you have, You may have various virtues that are admired by other folks. You may have a pleasant personality. You may have intellectual knowledge of other things, a high IQ and all. Don't bring it with you. It will do you no good. Because He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. And nothing that you possess will do you any good. Don't bring it. Don't even think about it. Whatever you possess, don't bring it. Now, in light of what I said, if there be any poor, rooted up, broken hearted, down in the mouth, cast down, poor, hopeless, helpless sinner under the sound of my voice, who feels like he is ruined, who feels like he is guilty, who feels like he is filthy, and he is ready to cry out, I am vile. I'm vile. I am so vile. I am so guilty. I'm so black that God could not and would not receive such a vile sinner as I. Well, let me tell you that a sinner never was received by God through Christ since the world began, but on the ground of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your felt sinfulness, vileness, wretchedness are good reasons, more so than anybody else, that would cause you to fall flat on your face and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your all-sufficient Savior. If there is such a hopeless, helpless, wandering, poor sinner without any righteousness of his own, so filthy that so mean and contemptible of a sinner that he can hardly lift his eyes to heaven and say, I'm guilty. If a poor, vile sinner is like that, he has more reason to hope that God will hear him than some self-righteous sinner say, well, I'll make it on my own. Well, you won't make it on your own. Now, if a man is without Christ, then he is without righteousness. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness. So if you don't have Christ, you don't have righteousness. Without Christ, you have no righteousness, and everything else that we have will leave us when we come down to that point in time when we give up the ghost and they take us to the undertaker and from the undertaker to the graveyard. Everything but Christ will leave behind. Someone said, well, one of the Rockefellers died. I believe that's who it was. Said the John D. Rockefeller died. Wonder how much he left here on this earth after he departed. Well, I can tell you how much he left. He left it all. That's how much he left. He left everything. He didn't take anything with him. If you're without Christ, you'll go the same way. Everything we have apart from Christ will go when we go. When the time comes, it may be sudden death. It may be a lingering death. A car might crash into us and kill us instantly. But if it does, then we have not Christ. Everything else we have won't do. When this world's on fire, the only thing that will help us is being in Him, hiding in Him. If we have Christ, we have righteousness. If we have Christ, we have His blood for pardon. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. We have His blood for pardon. We have His righteousness for justification. We have His fullness to supply our needs. We have His promises to cheer us up. We have His strength to support us. We have His wisdom to guide us in all of our ways. We have Him in all of His offices, all the offices that Christ sustains, we have Him in each one of them. As a prophet, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. If we have Him, if we have Christ, we have Him as our prophet to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us. If we have Him as our priest, we have Him to atone for our sins with His own precious blood. And if we have Him, we have Him at the right hand of God as our advocate. He pleads our case. He's our lawyer. He never lost a case. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as He presents our case before God, He's never lost one case. We have these great lawyers. We've seen them on the television. Some of them high priced. Some of them take on these cases that there's no seemingly reason why he ought to. And sometimes they win, sometimes they fail. They don't win them all. But our Lord Jesus Christ is our priest, is our advocate, our lawyer, our day's man, our surety. He pleads our case, and He never has lost a case, and He never will lose one. If we have Him, we have all that. Prophet, priest, and king. If we have Him, if we don't have Him, we have nothing. We stand alone, naked, bare. We'll have to stand there before God, empty-handed. We have nothing to offer. We'll just be ashamed, our heads are down. We have nothing. But Christ is available to any poor sinner that's vile and guilty and knows he's guilty and asks God for mercy. Christ is there. Alright? We have Him as a king to rule over us. We have Him in all the characteristics that He bears. We have Him as our shepherd. The good shepherd. The Lord Himself said, I'm the good shepherd. I love my sheep. I give my life for my sheep. Why, He said, I'm the good shepherd. And He said, all those who are my sheep, He said, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. And He's listen to me now. And He said, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. No man can take them away from me. They're in my hand. I bought them. I shed my blood for them. The Father gave them to me. I'm their shepherd. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. He's our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. He's our bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus said, I'm the water of life. And I'm the wine of God to cheer my people. Oh, and that which is an endearing relationship that the believer has with God in Christ is that the Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Think of that. Elder brother. I've got an elder brother. And I haven't seen him for years and years. And just yesterday, by the way, the telephone rang. And my elder brother was on the phone. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "Doing just fine." Elder brother, that's a close relationship. Hadn't been so close with my brother and I, but it's a close relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and His children. That endearing relationship, elder brother. And that, brethren, which is best of all, the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our husband. We're the bride. The church, the believers that make up the church, that's His bride. And He's coming for His bride. There's going to be a marriage supper. There's going to be a consummation of the marriage. He's coming for His people. If you're without Christ, you're going to be on the sideline. You see, we have this relationship, which is best of all. We have Him as our husband. And He does not, you ladies, listen to me. He does not take His bride as we are in the habit of taking ours. We take ours for better or for worse. But my soul, He knew that she would have no better about her. It would be all worse. That's us. Sinners of the deepest dye. Saved sinner. Saved sinner, but yet sin is in there. Sin works and struggles in me practically every minute of every day. I'm a saved sinner. I'm still a sinner. I was a sinner when I was born, and I'll be a sinner when I die. But I'll be a saved sinner. Sin's in me, but sin's not on me. Because my sin was laid on Him, and He bore what was due my sins. He paid my debt. My elder brother, my husband, my friend, my prophet, my priest, my king, my shepherd, my water of life, my bread of life, my all in all, paid all my debts and set me free. Well, cannot some of you here this morning recall a time that you were without Christ? I can recall a time when I was in my 20s. I'd went to the war and endured all of that. And when I was about 25, the Lord stopped me and revealed to me how hopeless my case was. And I heard the voice, not audible, but a still, small voice convincing me that I was a sinner. And when it convinced me that I was a sinner, I said, "I plead guilty. I plead guilty and I condemned myself." And God brought His free grace to my soul and saved my soul on the ground of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've been saved by the... I'm in my late 70s. I was saved in my early 20s. But now I'm in my late 70s, and I feel up to to this moment as much need of Jesus Christ as ever when it first started. Oh, and since that time I have preached hundreds and hundreds of sermons. How many times have I stood here, right here, on this same roster, this same background, and preached hundreds of times. Sometimes 3 times a week, sometimes more. Sometimes I used to preach 4 times a week. Sometimes I used to go off on the weekend and preach for other churches, Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I preached hundreds and hundreds of times, traveled thousands and thousands of miles preaching Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you would take away Christ from me this morning, I would as soon trust the devil as I would my good works. If you take Him away, you can't, but for the sake of argument, if you took Him, I would as soon trust the devil as I would anything that I have ever done, anything that I ever will do. I'd trust him before I'd trust my own works. Well, if I did that, the devil would have as good a hope as I have. If you're without Christ, then, what do you got? You got wretchedness and you got sin. That's all you got. Having no hope, you got no real hope. All people, you say, have some sort of hope. Well, what sort of a hope do you have? Well, you say, I have hope of getting to heaven. Well, what do you base that hope on? Well, I think God is too merciful to send anybody to hell. Well, if that be true, you think that God is too merciful to tell the truth. For He says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Another says, I have some hope of being saved, for I am as good as my neighbor and better than most of them. And that's my hope. Well, after all, I have a little hope. Well, there's no such thing as a little hope. If you just, some say, well, I'm just a little sinner. I haven't got out in that stuff. I haven't told the truth like it ought to be told at times. I'm just a little sinner. If there's only one sin, make it as hallowed it is. The Bible says if a man offendeth in one point of the law, he's guilty of breaking it all. So no excuse, you got no hope. If you're without Christ, you got nothing. You haven't got anything. You haven't got anything to plead. You're going to have to stand before God naked. You've got no garment of praise or garment of righteousness to wear. That comes by imputation. That individual who believes on God's Christ and receives Him, he's got Him as prophet, priest, and king. He's got Him as his righteousness. The righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ wrought Himself alone. 33 years. 33 years of righteousness. No sin in Him. A spotless, perfect, sinless sacrifice. He offered Himself in the sinner's place. I'm a sinner. I am a low, down, guilty sinner. I have no hope in myself. My hope's in Him. I trust Him. I believe in Him. I embrace Him. I love Him. I follow Him. He's my something else. You see what I'm talking about? I believe you do. I've got a lot more to say, but I'm not going to say it. I'll save it for some other time. I'm about wore out, and you are too. Let's stand, we'll go home. Pat, you pray for us, will you?